Welcome to the third show of Healthy Aging, where our goal is to provide our listeners with resources to increase their overall well-being. My name is Debbie Kanin, Director of Admissions for Sun Towers Retirement Community and President of the South Shore Coalition for Mental Health and Aging. Today, we wrap up our session with Mr. John Bauman, who is both a professor and an attorney and known as the Inspiring Esquire. As a national internet talk show host, John has appeared on CNN Headline News and is a proud person with Parkinson's. If you have Parkinson's or just want to be uplifted, stay tuned for part three of John's presentation. Before we get started, special thanks go out to the National Parkinson's Foundation for funding not only Mr. Bauman's presentation, but also this radio show. And now, here's John.
He's asking whether it's genetically transferred, and he's a twin. Well, they say 15% of the time it's genetically, it's hereditary. What I think, I'm not a doctor. I stayed in the Holiday Inn Express last night, but I'm not a doctor. I think that you've got the gene for Parkinson's and something in the environment triggers it. Now, you can say that about anything. You can say that about cancer. You can say that about anything. You have to have the gene first and then something triggers it in the environment. So even if you got it genetically, I think something in the environment has to trigger it. If you're asking me about whether suicide is hereditary, I have no idea. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully it's something that you can, with proper medication and the proper psychology, you can do something about it.
Have you or anyone else here in the room here felt that you have been over-medicated with the medicine that you've been getting for?
The question is, have you felt like you've been over-medicated? Your doctor sees you once every 6 months or every 3 months for half an hour or 10 minutes or whatever time it is. You have to run things by your doctor and you have to get clearance from your doctor, no doubt about it. But you need to take care of yourself. You need to be your own doctor. You need to do what it takes. Do the research. I've been on the same medication for the last 8 years. So I'm pretty sure that this is what I need. And what my medication does is it allows me to exercise. Anybody can eat right. Everybody can eat right. But exercise, not everyone can do to the extent that I've done. And I can appreciate that. But my medicine allows me to exercise to the extent that I do. Don't mess around with your medicine. For example, when Bernadette and I met, she said, I knew for years I had vivid dreams. I even fell out of bed once and smashed my face on the nightstand. You know, pleasant way to wake up. She went to the doctor and said, I read about this medication that he can take to help with the sleep. I had my first good night's sleep in 10 years. Why didn't my doctor mention this to me? I've been talking about my sleep disorder for years. Well, they've got a lot on their minds. They've got a lot of patients. I call everyone a snowflake. You're perfect just the way you are, but you're different. Every snowflake is different. You, as a Parkinson's patient, are different from everyone else. So it's tough for the doctor to do that. You need to do your own work, do your own, keep a notebook, go in, talk to him, talk to her, and take control of your disease.
And can I say one thing too? When you go to your doctor, and if you have concerns about that, when you journal how you're feeling that day, and you can bring that in, and if you can time it, because that's a lot of the information that they need. If you go in and say, I'm just not doing well, or I think I'm having too much, if you can journal and give times and then your activity at those times, you're going to give the doctor more objective information for him to understand. So if you take your medicine at 8, but you don't feel like you're getting an upreaction or an overreaction, and you're sleeping too much, if you and your care partner can get together and start documenting that, when you go to the doctor, you'll give them more information to help them to make decisions on what they may or may not need to change. That's just, but remember, when you go there, you can say things, but the more objective information you give them, the better they're able to understand what they're going to try to target. to help you, okay? Whatever you can bring to the table is going to help them understand you. So journaling is a very important part of it. You need times, you need adjectives to describe what's going on, and then you need to make sure that you're taking your medicine as they directed you to. Because if you're not, and then you tell them it's not working, you know what's going on. So very, very important that you journal all of those things in there.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, I just want to echo with that. I think it's important for you to feel like you're responsible in your wellness.
Yeah.
That empowers you.
Right.
It makes you know, like, okay, this is happening to me because I am not taking my medicine at this time of the day and my doctor's advising me to do this. Well, that's not seeming to be working. Let's try something else. I think
right.
It's empowering.
Right.
And the question was, are you over-medicated? And you may be over-medicated. So you need to go see a doctor and say, I'm over-medicated. I take so much medicine that I feel like a zombie.
Yeah.
And I felt that way. Or I feel off, or I'm expressionless. And I have those things happen to me. So.
Your comments were very well taken.
Thank you.
And that's where I had a question earlier about medication. But I think I'm on way too many. I'm on 36 pills a day. From the comments.
36. How many times did
you? No, I have diabetes also along with Parkinson's.
Oh.
There's nothing wrong. It's not going to insult your doctor. It's not going to make them feel bad. It's not going to ruin their day. If you go get a second opinion, go see someone else. Go see a different movement specialist. I'm not saying you should do that, but that's an option.
And also the things that John spoke about, which was like eating better, exercising more, will help offset the symptoms that you're getting from taking those medications. So I think you might be able to control that.
It will definitely help.
John, are you a candidate for a DBS, do you know?
I'm definitely a candidate for it. I'm not ready for it.
My wife went through it and it's helped her considerably.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story. I went to New Orleans to do a talk. I don't remember it, but.
You remember it.
When you have to explain the joke, it's not funny.
He said the only bar he didn't pass was the one in New Orleans. The football bar. But you did.
I passed the Louisiana bar, and that's the only bar that I passed.
That one, right.
A guy picked us up to drive us to the meeting, and he was all over the place. If I had two seatbelts, I would put two seatbelts on. He had dyskinesia, he was pushing down the pedal and we were driving all erratically, and I just said to Bernadette, he's not driving us back to the hotel, we'll get someone else. 3 months later, he walked into the Washington, D.C., the Parkinson's Action Network, and he looked like an anchorman. He was dressed to the nines, his hair was combed, he looked like a different person. I said, shh. Chuck?
Chuck, is that you?
He said he had DBS. And we also met somebody who didn't have a good reaction to DBS. The current thinking is, don't wait too long. Have it earlier rather than later. I'm not ready for it. I don't think I need it right now. But what I like about DBS is, to me, it's going to give me 5 to 10 more years of quality of life. That's good. I think that makes me feel good. That there's something out there that will give me quality of life.
And we also think the longer we wait, the better it gets, just like everything else. The more technology gets better. And from when we've seen people have gotten it 20 years ago, it's a different process, and people are definitely getting better results. It's easier to see how that's going,
mm-hmm.
you know?
But let me, for you, don't wait too long.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying now.
Did the gentleman back here that thinks he's taking too much medication? I myself was taking too much medication. I'm moving all over the place right now because my left side is involved. But I have the DBS on the right side, for my right side,
Yeah.
So that's a possibility.
No.
I mean, is there something that he can look into?
She said she had DBS
but
on one side.
Have a second surgery anytime.
And she's ready to have the second surgery anytime. And she's.
The other side.
Right. John, we were able to make this
Okay. She said she's cut her medication in half.
Because of the DBS.
Because of DBS on one side, she's ready to have it on the second side.
And that's what most people say about DBS is that it helps, you know, alleviate taking all those pills all day long.
Right.
You were talking about exercise and going beyond. What exactly are you saying? Are you cardio exercise or?
Beyond your comfort zone. When I did an hour of treadmill to start, about halfway through, I was like, I can't do this anymore. But I pushed through it. Muhammad Ali says, my training starts when I don't think I can take another step. My training starts when I don't think I can take another step. Every exercise I did along the way, including now, boxing, and I also do hot yoga. Halfway through, I say to myself, why am I doing this? When I can hardly lift my gloves to hit the bag again. And I say, I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing this for Bernadette. So I'm not so much of a burden on them. It can be whatever you want it to be. I'm putting forth a proposition that they call it forced exercise. And that's kind of a weird phrase, but I don't like it, but they haven't come up with anything better. Finding an exercise program that is with other people makes a huge difference. If I just went to the boxing gym and hit the bag I could only do it for 5-10 minutes. I wouldn't be able to do it. I go an hour every other day, and I do it with other people, and it makes a huge difference. So I push myself, I do the boxing, I do it with a group of people, they make it a competition, which is gets me fired up, and I'm able to do it. I also do 90 minutes of Bikram hot yoga every other day, and that's pure torture. So it ain't easy. But if you're only comfortable walking the dog or doing something less strenuous, or you're not used to exercise, do something. But what I'm saying is, if you want to transform yourself, I weighed 215 pounds. I weigh 170 now. If you want to punch me in the stomach, I don't have 6-pack abs, but I've got 2-pack abs. My cholesterol went from 180, the bad cholesterol, down to 90. I have made a transformation. It was very difficult. We sometimes went right from core training to boxing, did an hour of core training to an hour of boxing. I would get home and pass out and go to bed. I'm not saying everyone can do that. I have the inner strength to do it, maybe because I'm competitive, and I feel like I want to win at Parkinson's. I want to win at Parkinson's. I want to show Parkinson's that I can beat it.
And I think it's important to understand there's all types of exercise, and I'm sure you have plenty of programs here.
Right.
Walking trails,
right.
Dancing,
right.
All types of yoga,
right.
Chair yoga.
Right.
It's important to keep moving.
Absolutely
sure.
Important.
I think that's what I noticed most about John was that he started seeing that he was accomplishing something. Like
yeah.
He felt good because he could box, and it was great. You know, he wasn't beating anyone up in those
yeah.
streets or anything, but he was definitely.
You
like,
guys have to see his video boxing. It's fantastic.
He's been doing it for almost 4 years, and he works out
right.
with boxers. He doesn't go to a Parkinson's boxing, although he has started one in Sarasota,
right.
which they named close to his name, Boxing with John.
Three things you need to do. You need to sweat, you need to stretch, you need to strengthen. Those are the three S's of exercise. I made that up. I can make things up, I'm allowed to.
Rock City Boxing has gone a long way. John was, like I said, he was one of the original participants. And what they do is incorporate the Parkinson's disease in a way that they will make you, once you're exercising, write something down, right? So that it increases that type of symptom that you might have Or my, you know, John says when they're boxing, they have to scream out one, two, to get the. So it's not just about getting in a ring and bringing boxing. It's they really incorporate the Parkinson's therapy. That's good. It's a good thing.
In fact, they played AC/DC Back in Black, which is loud. And they'll say six, and you got to hit the bag six times, and you got to scream out one, two, three, four, five, six, and have it loud enough that the instructor can hear you. So they have voice. There's a voice component to it. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I think that there's enough boxing gyms out there that have free time. They can't have people boxing all the time. That they can fit in a Parkinson's class, and that's what we've done at Jayco's gym in Sarasota, Florida. Saturday mornings at 9:30, it's Parkinson's people. And we have usually 12 to 14 people. And it's amazing how people who can hardly move, when you get the mitts up, they start hitting the mitts. They're flying.
That's great.
I don't know why, how it works. I have no idea why it works. There's a theory there. It makes sense. He doesn't think it's true. He's got multiple issues. He's got Parkinson's. He's got other issues. I've talked to his wife, and she's told me that he has lots of issues. But it's amazing to watch him when he's off. When he's not, he's like this. And then when people are around, especially kids, it's like he wakes up. And he comes to life, like a doll almost. And he's amazing. He's amazing.
Do you have issues with your speech?
I do have issues with my speech. I'm glad I have a microphone because I would be getting hoarse right now. And even with this, sometimes I can't be heard. I've actually found that if I drink ice water, it kills my vocal cords. So I have to drink warm water.
Did you go to speech therapy?
I went to speech therapy and they said I didn't need it.
And he's married to an Italian.
Oh.
We have a bumper sticker in the car that says, I'm not yelling, I'm Italian.
Right. Yeah. So I did miss the topic.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for taking time to come out.
Today with John Bauman, who I just heard speak at our local Parkinson's support group, and he was amazing. And John's offered to give us a few moments here of his time and a quiet room to answer a couple of questions that are really important, I think, to Parkinson's patients. A little history about John. He served as a Parkinson's Action Network representative in 2013 and 16. In Washington, D.C., he was the chair and biggest fundraiser for the National Parkinson's Foundation Phoenix Moving Day in 2015. Over the years, he's attended National Parkinson's Foundation Moving Days in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, to name a few. He's a Michael J. Fox Foundation ambassador and made a presentation to his research team in New York City. John is also on three panels moderated by Dave Iverson in the Partners in Parkinson's series in St. Louis and in Tampa. From 2005 until 2014, John taught law to the College of Business at the University of Louisville. He has served as an example of embracing adversity to many of his students, including being selected the most inspiring professor by the University of Louisville Scholar Athlete of the Year. John has recently wrote a book entitled Decide Success, You're Not Dead Yet. John also contributed a chapter to both Courageous Stories of Inspiration and The Peripatetic Pursuit of Parkinson's Disease.
Nice job.
I did all right? I'm glad you feel that way. Thank you. Well, today John is willing to answer a few questions, and the first of those questions is, how do you recover when your world is, in essence, turned upside down?
It's a difficult question. My world was definitely turned upside down in 2002. I was the top lawyer for a NASDAQ-listed company. I was living life large, and I was heard those four fateful words, you have Parkinson's disease. And I was in shock. I may still be in shock today in 2016. But you just pick yourself up. You find the strength. You look in deep inside yourself, and you make a decision that you're not going to let it beat you, that you're not going to give up, but you're going to get back up and do whatever it takes. And I believe in every life-changing event that there is something you can do to affect the experience you have with that life-changing event. When I define life-changing events, there's a whole spectrum of things. Parkinson's is one of them. Becoming a care partner for someone with Parkinson's is a life-changing event for you because you've got a full plate. But I'll go as far as to the edge as possible. Forgiving the person who committed a horrific crime on your child and maybe even killed them. That can take over your life. And forgiving that person gives you your life back. That's taking something that's turned your life upside down and not letting it be who you are, but keep maintaining your sense of identity, sense of self-confidence, self-image, and getting through it.
But how do you stay positive when bad things happen in your life? Do you have a driving force?
How do you stay positive? I don't think you have a choice. You only get you only get one life. And you got a choice. You can live it in sadness and negativity and pessimism and pain, or you can do whatever it takes to become positive again. Reclaim positive. I'm allowed to make up words, I'm a speaker. So what I call reclaiming your positive, your positive perspective. You've got to reclaim it. You've got to take it back. You've got to find a way to take it back. For me, it was teaching school. My mother was a college professor. My father was a high school teacher. My brother used to be a kindergarten teacher. My sister still teaches fifth grade. I was the black sheep of the family, as my father says. I became an attorney. Well, I got to live the family heritage. I became a professor at University of Louisville. I would have never gotten to do that. And I got to affect 1,000 students over the years. That's powerful. And when I see my students out at a restaurant or run into them at wherever, to see their eyes light up and know that I made a difference in their lives. And then what I do now is inspirational talks. It gives me the meaning in life to touch people.
It must be fulfilling to be able to help other people.
It's I don't do it for my sake. I know that sounds selfless, but I do it for the sake of the people because I'm not being conceited. I have a gift.
You do. I witnessed that just now at our support group. And I know the members of the group, there are many who are very woeful and sorrowful that they're going through this. And I saw some specific faces today turn around because of you. You really did make a difference in their lives. Do you think that everyone has a purpose?
Absolutely. And I say uncover your purpose for a reason. It's there already. You need to uncover it. It doesn't have to be something grandiose. It doesn't have to be getting on a big stage like Michael J. Fox gets to do and raise hundreds of millions of dollars for Parkinson's research. If you affect one person, if you make a difference in one person's life, and I'll give you an example of that, and this usually brings me to tears, so I apologize in advance. My my experience at college, I went to University of Massachusetts, and I was from New York, but I wanted to be near my family, my grandfather, my grandmother. They lived in Massachusetts. I was always a strange child. I liked my grandparents a lot, and I wanted to be close to them so I could come visit them on some weekends. I didn't party every weekend. I went to their house and visited with them. Well, my freshman year, most of the people are in, it's public university, University of Massachusetts. Most of the students are from the same high schools, and they used to hang out together. They had a strong bond. And it was very difficult to break that bond coming from New York and or a different state. So my first year, I didn't have a great experience socially. My second year, I moved to another dorm, and it started out feeling the same way, like I was going to be an outcast, someone not accepted. And I called my mom and I said, I'm coming home. And she said, give it another day. And I walked outside the door. A guy came up to me and he said, I'm Bradshaw. Nice to meet you. Welcome to the dorm. I'd like you to meet Kevin and Dan. And he just welcomed me with open arms. Had no idea who I was.
Wow.
And we became best friends. And he died of cancer at 50.
I'm sorry.
And I spoke to him the night before he died. And he said, did I make a difference? And, so, and I said, I told him the story. And I said, he made a difference in my life. And you had no idea. And Brad was not successful in any sense of the word. He was divorced. He never really held a job. He lived with his parents at the time of his death. But when I told that story at his celebration of his life, to see his father push out his chest, proud of his son, maybe for the first time, it was powerful.
I'm very powerful. Very powerful. Thank you.
He made a difference.
Thank you. I have one last question. I don't even know if I could ask it. What does it mean to reinvent yourself?
It's hard. It's a lot of work. I put a lot of effort into getting into Cornell Law School. I put a lot of effort into graduating from there. I put a lot of effort into being a lawyer. I was very successful as a lawyer. I loved being a lawyer. Put a lot of effort in to have to put that into my past and do something different was the hardest thing I ever did. To make the decision to say, I can't do this anymore. I can't multitask the way I used to. My mind is not as sharp as I used to be. And make the decision that I couldn't service my client the way I needed to, the way I was used to. Where I could before, and to move on to something else. And inspirational speaking wipes me out. It takes all of my energy. It's worth it. It's what I live for, besides my wife and my children. But it takes a lot out of me. I'll go right home and go to sleep. But I gotta do it. I don't have a choice.
You filled the audience today with emotion. So no wonder that you're exhausted when you're done. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for putting this event on.
If you have questions about resources in our area or about Parkinson's in general and would like to learn more about our support group, please call the South Shore Coalition for Mental Health and Aging or visit our website at mentalhealthandaging.org. That phone number to call is area code 813-419-4902. Be sure to tune in to our next show, where our goal is to provide all of our South Shore community neighbors with healthy aging options for both mind and body. This is Debbie Kinnean inviting you to enjoy the programs on our local radio station, and thanks for listening.